Okay, so in the last shiur, we discussed the two sides of the Torah, the two goals of the Torah, that we have proper actions and that we have proper thoughts. And now we want to explore how similar is the process of clarifying proper thoughts to the process of clarifying proper behaviors. Obviously, the familiar domain is the halachic domain, the clarification of proper behaviors, and that will be kind of our frame of reference in examining the hashkafic process, in examining the process of clarifying what it is that we believe. So how similar are the two? So first of all, you know, obviously the Gemara discusses not only halachas, but ideas, but also what I think you see in the Gemara in several places is not just the discussion around ideas, but also very often we see a desire for a conclusion, or at least an attempt to draw a conclusion, right? So the discussion was not enough. The two sides were not enough. We actually value reaching some sort of conclusion. So we see that in a pretty famous Gemara in Kiddushin that discusses what is greater, Talmud or learning Torah or doing mitzvot. Now, of course, this is not necessarily only a hashgafic discussion. It could be a very practical halachic discussion in terms of what you prioritize. But the Gemara discusses or asks the question of, you know, what do we see as greater, learning Torah or doing mitzvot? It brings some degree of debate, and then it says that they reach some sort of conclusion that learning Torah is greater. Talmud gadol sheh Talmud mevi lidei maisa, because learning Torah leads to mitzvot, leads to performing mitzvot. So again, the discussion was not enough. The Gemara wants to reach some sort of conclusion in that process. Where we see this elsewhere is in a discussion of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, where this is a very clearly a hashkafic conversation that they're having, which was it better by and large for people to have been created or not to have been created? Meaning, is it better for you as an individual to be created? Is the likelihood that you're going to do something positive with your life, and therefore, you know, better your situation, is that likelihood greater than that you will do something negative with your life and, you know, wreck your spiritual situation? So they have this debate. Not only do they have this debate, but they reach a conclusion that essentially it seems to be worse for people to be put in this world and have them, you know, not do anything they're supposed to be doing, and ultimately ruin or take away from their spirituality by being put here, because people are more likely to do the wrong thing than doing the right thing. That seems to be the conclusion that the Gemara draws. So the important, you know, element number one in this discussion is just identifying that not only do they have this discussion where one side says, you know, better for people that we were created and we were given these opportunities, and the other side says, no, better for us not to have been created because we're more than likely going to fail in these opportunities that we were given. But the Gemara actually makes a point to make a conclusion. This is what we conclude. This is actually the case. Meaning the value of this discussion is not just entertaining both sides. The Gemara wants to reach a certain conclusion in the matter so that we know what is truthful and what is proper. Now, number two, a second bit of information that this gives us is very fascinating to look at, because if you look at the actual wording of this Gemara, Nimnu Vigamru, Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra yoter mishenivra, that means that they counted and concluded that it is, you know, better for a person not to have been created. Now, there are different ways of understanding this Gemara. So if you look at the Maharsha on this Gemara, he says, what exactly did they count? They counted and they concluded that better for a person not to have been created. What exactly did they count? So according to the Maharsha, they counted the mitzvot and realized that there were more things that you can't do, where doing them is detrimental to you, than things that you're supposed to do, where doing them is helpful to you. And because just on a practical level, there are more things you can't do than, you know, things that you're supposed to do to better your spiritual condition, it's more likely that you're going to do more damage than good. So that's what the Maharsha says, they counted. Whereas you get a different impression from Rashi. Now, Rashi is not commenting on our Gemara. It's important to point that out. But Rashi in Kiddushin comments on these exact words in conjunction with one another, Nimnu Vigamru. And he says, Leminyan Virabu HaOmrim Eina Mekudesh Dubatlo HaMuatim. So he's talking about Kiddushin, but the understanding of this phrase is what's important to us. Nimnu Vigamru means they counted the opinions. And so they're looking for the rove. You look for the majority in the halacha. You have, you know, different approaches, 2, 3, 4 different approaches. And then the way that you paskin, the way that you determine what the conclusion is, by looking at the majority. What is the majority opinion? Is it asr or is it mutter? Is it tameh or is it tahor? And that's how Rashi understands nimnu v'gamru, that we draw our conclusions based on counting the relevant voices and saying who's in the majority and who's in the minority. And what that would imply is that what Behil and Beit Shammai are doing here by this hashkafic debate is actually counting, okay, how many people think that it's better for a person to have been created? How many people think that it's worse for a person to have been created? Let's count up the voices and determine the reality of the situation based on the majority. And this now becomes the truth for us because it's a rove. In a very, very similar fashion to how halacha is paskin. Okay, we do see also that not only does the Gemara make an effort to draw conclusions in the domain of ideas, but the Rishonim do as well. So the Rambam in several places will look at a debate that happens in the Gemara, a hashkafic debate that happens in the Gemara, where the Gemara doesn't give a conclusion, and the Rambam will only quote one opinion. So for example, in the Gemara in Brachot Daf Lamed Daled, there are a couple different discussions happening. First of all, there's a discussion around whether or not tzadikim gemurim, meaning completely righteous individuals who have never sinned significantly in their lives, are at a better or worse place than those who have sinned and have subsequently done tshuva. So we may be familiar with the statement that b'makom she ba'alei tshuva omdin en tzadikim gemurim omdin, right? That seems to elevate the status of those who have sinned and done tshuva beyond those who have never sinned. But the Gemara in Brachot Daf Lamed Daled has this debate, and it's the Rambam who comes in and actually draws a conclusion. It says, Amru Chachamim, Makom Shebalei Tshuva Omdin En Tzadikim Gemurim Omdin, Et Yecholim Lamod Bo, is his lashon. So the Rambam doesn't quote both sides, he concludes. Now, of course, this is not a halachic discussion, it's a hashgafic discussion, and the Rambam only quotes one opinion, and it seems to be that this is what he believes to be the right opinion. And in that same Gemara, there's a famous debate around Olam Haba and Yimot HaMashiach. Is Yimot HaMashiach going to be a time period that is beyond nature, where nature as we know it, the world as we know it, functions a little bit differently or very differently? Or is Yimot HaMashiach a totally normal time period? Everything is running as we have come to expect it. And all these prophecies about when the world changes and things are different and the Olam HaNeshamot and all these things, that's actually talking about Olam Haba and not about Yimot HaMashiach. Again, the Gemara brings this discussion and the Rambam concludes that Yimot HaMashiach is a pretty normal time period, and anything that's mystical and far off and, you know, beyond our ability to understand, that's in the domain of Olam Haba. The Yimot HaMashiach is going to be a pretty normal course of events. Of course, the Ramban thinks differently, but this is basically the Rambam and the Ramban debating, drawing opposite conclusions over a debate that clearly takes place in the Gemara. And they are reaching their own conclusions based on a hashkafic debate. So all we see, though, is that the Gemara has hashkafic debates. discusses hashgafic topics, sometimes the Gemara itself will draw a conclusion. Sometimes the Gemara itself will draw a conclusion in a way that is strikingly similar to how it might draw a halachic conclusion. Sometimes the Gemara leaves it as a debate, but the Rishonim will come in and say, you know what we believe to be the truth is A or B. So it's clearly the process by which we try to determine what is truthful or not truthful is not entirely dissimilar from that process whereby we try to determine what we're supposed to do. An additional element that you can throw into this discussion is that we do actually see hashkafic topics being discussed in the context of halachas. So, first of all, we see a Gemara in Sanhedrin that speaks about David HaMelech, where David HaMelech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, why is it that you're called Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and not Elokei David? And God says, well, I tested them, and so David says, well, test me. David understands that his area of weakness, and therefore the area that he's going to be tested in, is in the area of Arayot, and he says, well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to just sleep with someone I'm allowed to sleep with. And then, you know, my desires will be put to bed, no pun intended. And then I'm not going to want to do anything else, and I'll pass whatever test that, you know, God sends me at that point. But, says the Gemara, David HaMelech forgot that's not how we work, right? In fact, says the Gemara, when it comes to your desires, the more you satiate them, the hungrier they get. The more you starve them, the more satiated they are. And the Gemara says that in the following language. It says, "V'nit alma mimenu halacha." The following halacha was forgot. David forgot, which is that's how our desires work. Which is very interesting. The Gemara uses it belashon halacha, calls this idea, this truth, a halacha. Similarly, in the Ramban we quoted in the previous shir about Bereshit, the Ramban reaches a conclusion or postulates that we actually don't really understand what's going on in the story of Bereshit. The text tells us some sort of basic understanding about Maaseh Bereshit, but of course, what really happened is above and beyond what we understand from the text. And the real truth of what happened is a Masorah, and it's only known by very, very select few individuals who are, you know, the Baalei the Masorah and Baalei Kabbalah, and what he calls the knowledge of what really happened in Bereshit. That, you know, on a deeper level, he says, "V'tisha'er ha'yadiyah le'yichidim shebem halacha Moshe Mitzrayim." Says the proper understanding of what Bereshit actually looked like, what the creation of the world actually looked like, is a halach l'moshe Mitzrayim. So it's interesting that the knowledge of the creation of the world, the Ramban is using the term halacha to describe this. Similarly, we see Rashi quoting the Midrash of Esav's meeting Yaakov. And it says that he goes in to kiss him. And the Midrash says, one opinion of the Midrash says, that he was actually trying to kill him. And that explains the dots above the term that he was going in to kiss him. So that being said, so Rashi quotes the Midrash as saying as follows, that no, really Esav was trying to kill him. You can't say that Esav had a change of heart and he changed his ways and now he loves Yaakov. Why? Halacha hi biyadua she'esav sonei Yaakov. It's a halacha that Esav hates Yaakov. And in fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein uses that idea when he was asked. There was a certain case that came before him in England about a decision that their Department of Education made that negatively impacted Jewish schools. And they asked Rav Moshe, should we take them to court? Do we have to be concerned that this is going to incite hatred towards the Jewish people? And Rav Moshe said, halachai, Esav sonei Yaakov. So you always have to be concerned for the idea that there's a deep-seated hatred towards the Jewish people. And you have to keep that in mind when you're, you know, stoking the coals amongst the nations of the world, bringing them to court, v'chule, v'chule. So Rav Moshe actually integrates this idea in the Medrash into his psak halacha, that you always need to be concerned for the fact that that Esav is sone Yaakov. However, Rav Moshe addresses why we call it a halacha, and that's where things get a little bit interesting. Because Rav Moshe doesn't say it's a halacha, meaning we paskin that this is the truth. That's not a relevant term here. You don't paskin that this is the truth. Rather, says Rav Moshe, we call it a halacha, and the Midrash calls it a halacha because it's unchanging like halacha. It is a truth of our reality as halacha is. It's an absolute idea that doesn't change. Not to say that we paskin Esav hates Yaakov. That's not relevant terminology here. Just to say that this is the truth and it'll always be the truth. However, others, like the Maritz Chayes, says differently and says, no, actually what we see from this Midrash and in other places as well, he quotes Gemara and Erevin, that the term halacha applies to agarata as well, to hashkafic topics as well. That when we have debates, not just on actions, but around ideas, whatever conclusion we draw, it is fit and appropriate to call that a halacha as well. Okay, so what we need to do next, after we explored in what ways the hashkafic process is similar or different to that of the halachic process, we need to address the next question, which is there psak halacha when it comes to hashkafa? Meaning, is it, okay, the Gemara reaches certain conclusions, the Rishonim reaches certain conclusions, now it comes to us, I can basically do whatever I want, and I can conclude what I think is truthful or what finds favor in my eyes, or similar to the halachic process, I'm actually supposed to go and ask a shayla and get a psak halacha. So how do we treat the domain of psak within ideas as opposed to actions?